Blog Talk Radio.
This is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, truly, truly blessed to be with you this lovely morning and knowing that God is so good and that he loves us so very, very much. I am so wonderfully grateful that he woke me up this morning, started me on my way. Hallelujah, and put a pep in my step. Grateful, grateful, grateful is all I can say. I have had a great week, great weekend. It's just, I'm just happy to thank you, Lord, for another year. Happy, happy, happy. And I got a lot of great word this morning for you and for me. Oh, wow. That's all I can say, because the word that God gave me this morning is coming out of Mark chapter 14. And it's, you don't know the cost of my oil. You know, every time I hear Alabaster Box by C.C. Winans, it's my testimony. You know, when you go through, you realize nobody knows the cost of what you go through. No one knows when you're sick. No one knows when you're going through depression. No one knows when you're going through just the nation of life. No one knows your despair. No one knows where the Lord brought you from but you and God. Because there's just some things, as my mother said, you just take it to the grave. It's not anybody's business but yours and God. But I just want to tell God, thank you for another year. Thank you for loving me enough to call me to do this work that I love, which is teaching and preaching your word. I'm grateful and I'm thankful and I know that I'm blessed. And as we take it to the throne this morning, Father God, I just want to say thank you. I lift up this mighty word, God, that goes before us. Lord God, let this word touch hearts, minds, and spirits, God. Let those that hear it shout, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Let them know how great and mighty you are as our Father. You have placed us where we need to be to receive our full jar of oil, so that when we anoint the Savior, hallelujah, he knows it is for his coming. I'm excited. I want to be one of the brides with my full lamp and my extra full jar of oil, because I want to make it in and I want to be on time. In the name of Jesus, Father God, as this word goes forth, may it touch hearts, may it touch minds, may it touch spirits, may it touch all that hear it, and those that are not saved that hear it. May they ask, what must I do to be saved? And I gladly say, accept my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. For he is good and his mercy endures forever and ever. He gave his life for me as he's given his life for you. For we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But because of Jesus, we are saved by grace. Father God, as always, please increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. O Lord, my God, and forgive me for all sins, God. Sins, thoughts, sins, spoken, any sin that I have committed in word or deed against your divine majesty or against anyone else, Lord. I repent and ask forgiveness. Go into your word. May it touch again someone's heart, someone's mind, someone's spirit as it has touched mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. As we go into our word this morning, we will be coming out of the 34th Psalm, starting at verse number 8. And we will complete at the 35th Psalm, verse number 8. Our Proverbs this morning will start at Proverbs chapter 11, verse 29. And we will be ending at Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. And our New Testament word, we will be coming out of the book of Mark. My baby was named. Hallelujah. And so in the book of Mark, we will be starting in Mark chapter 14, and we will be ending in Mark chapter 14, verse 72. So we will be in Mark chapter 14 this morning. So let's get in the word of God, because say it with me, y'all. It is a great word this morning. It is a great word, and we're going to go for it. And the word of God said in the Psalm, 34th Psalm, starting at verse number 8. Oh, taste and see, one of my favorite verses, that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Can we say that one more time? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you, his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Woo, hallelujah. Are you seeking the Lord with me this morning? Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue, come on now, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. What do we say on moving forward, family? Keep your tongue behind your teeth. Keep your tongue behind your teeth. Keep your tongue behind your teeth and keep it from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Apart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. That's what we got to do. Seek peace and pursue it. You know, that's a sermon all by itself. Keep your tongue behind your teeth. Hallelujah. Don't let the enemy get you talking and saying horrible things. You know, that was, what a word. Let's continue. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cries. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and save such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Can I say it again? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Hallelujah. Do you trust in the Lord this morning? Do you trust that he has you, that he has your best interest at heart? Do you trust that he loves you more than anything? And David says in the 35th Psalm, plead my cause, O Lord, with those who strive with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for me and stand up for my help. Draw out the spear and stop those who pursue me. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Woo! I got to read that again. Also, draw out the spear and stop those who pursue me. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Let those be put to shame and brought to dishonor who seek after my life. Let those be turned back and brought to confusion who plot my hurt. Let them be like chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord pursue them. For without cause they have hidden their net for me in a pit, which they have dug without cause. For my life, let destruction come upon him unexpectedly, and let his net that he has hidden catch himself. Into the very destruction let him fall. Woo! That's a curse in place. Folks, you know, David wrote some beautiful words, but David trusted God and he did not play. You know, he spoke what he felt in his heart, and we got to let God know what we feel in our heart. We got to let God know that we appreciate him and love him. And as the 34th Psalm, verse 18 says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. Been there, done that, had a broken heart. Tore up from the flow up, but God, he called me out of my despair. Hallelujah. I can do nothing more than say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. And it says, do you avoid God when you're feeling down because you feel like you're useless to him? Friend, God knows that this is when you need him the most, and he rushes in to comfort you. He will give you his strength and courage, so turn to him. Are you turning to the Lord today and in the Lord today? Are you believing that he's got you covered from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet? Do you believe that he loves you more than anything? And as we go into this life example from Dr. Stanley, and for those who are saying, Dr. Stanley, I am coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And if you would like to call into the show instead of listening on social media, the number to call is 213-943-3597. And we are here Sunday through Friday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. If you would like to listen in as you get ready for work, as you do whatever it is you do in the morning, come and hear a word from God. Tell a friend, text a friend, you know, let them know that God's word is going forth in the atmosphere. And as we go back into our word this morning, it says he pleads your case. Sometimes people will tell lies about you, come on now, and you will not be able to defend yourself. Their fabrications will endanger everything you care about, your job, reputation, family, and even your future, because Satan is a liar and the father of it. Come on now, John 8:44. He will often concoct untruths about God's children in order to hurt them or damage their credibility. Believe me, I've been there on the job. It happened to me. But you know what? God is good. And every day I went in with a smile. I went in with a prayer on my lips. And I said, okay, God, whatever is your will, let it be done. And I am not ashamed of what God did for me, because God always opened doors. And when the enemy tries to come at you, God will put up a standard. And they will wonder why they're going through. Because sometimes you think you're blessed, but you're just getting ready for the big heartache because of the things you've done to God's children. So folks better understand, you don't get away with anything. When you hurt one of the children of God, God will show you. He will show up and he will show out. But he's going to always let his children succeed. And this is the word it says. This certainly happened to Jesus. Mark 14 and 56 tells us, many bore false witness against him. This was the only way that the Jewish religious leaders could send Jesus to be crucified, by lying about what he had done. After they had crucified Jesus, the chief priests and Pharisees went even further. They said to Pilate, sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise. Therefore command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say to the people, he has risen from the dead. So the last deception will be worse than the first. Matthew 27, 63-64. Finally, after Christ fulfilled his promise to rise from the dead, the religious leaders bribed the guards to say that the disciples had stolen Jesus' body. Matthew 28, 11-15. Lie after lie was told. Yet Proverbs 19 and 5 promises, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies will not escape. Come on now, there are folks that go, they'll do a half-truth. Well, they said X, Y, Z, but they take it out of context and lie on you. When Jesus said that he was I am, he was not lying. He was telling the truth, but they tore the Caiaphas, tore his clothes, and acted like it was such a, oh, my goodness. And then, oh, well, he said he would tear down the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. He's such a horrible, horrible person. We want Barabbas instead of this Jesus. This lie after lie. Well, you know, he did some awful things on the Sabbath. What did he do but heal a man? Had compassion, had love, had all the fruit of the Spirit. But yet you're going to lie on me. And then it goes on to say, the falsehoods of the priests and Pharisees were soon dismissed. Jesus confirmed his resurrection by appearing to many witnesses in Acts chapter 13, verses 30-31. Then reported that there were more than 500 eyewitnesses to Christ's resurrection. Because of the people who saw Jesus had risen from the grave, the gospel spread like a wildfire. No lie or clever deception could stop the truth from prevailing, and it has prevailed over these 2,000 plus years. We still believe. We still know that he has risen. The point is that God is a good and able defender, and he will bring the truth to light, Matthew 10 and 26. Therefore, ask him as Psalm 35 and 1 instructs, plead my cause, O Lord, with those who strive with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Surely as you serve him, he will show the justice of your actions and show your accusers for what they really are. Psalm, the 37th Psalm, verse 6, which we will get to, I believe, this week. Therefore, don't fear their falsehoods. God's truth will prevail, and you will too. Don't let anybody and their lies and falsehoods and them talking about you, you a junkyard dog. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Give it to God and keep it moving. You don't have to defend yourself. Folks that know you and know your integrity, they don't worry about it. They know that whatever is being said is a bald-faced lie because that's not who you are. And there will be those that will try to put you down, try to make you feel bad about a situation. You give them the guide and keep on moving. Keep your head up. Don't let anybody make you feel less than. Because whatever you go through is going to make you stronger. And my boss, when I was working, used to do speeches. And one of the speeches we had put, a story was about a caterpillar. And the thing is that with a caterpillar, you got to let it go through the cycle to be born and rebirthed into a butterfly. But just imagine. If you see this struggling caterpillar and you're like, well, I can help it. And so you decide to cut it down the middle so that whatever is inside can come out and that it doesn't have to go through the transformation, that it can just be given leniency, as we want to say. We're given a little bit of a push, but instead it will never fly. It will never be the beautiful butterfly because you stopped it in the process of refinement. You stopped it in the process of rebirth. You stopped it in the process. And we can't take someone from the process. If I'm going through, let me go through for your help. God will say, help. But when I need to get those fluids running, when I need to get through that cocoon, when I need to get through to become the butterfly that I'm supposed to be, don't stop my process. And because I've been through some things, I got a full jar of oil. You may not know the cost. You may not know what I went through, but God does. And I had to go through that struggle to get where I am, to be able to speak the word of God because I've been through some things. But I'm grateful that God brought me through. And it tells us in Proverbs 11:29, he who troubles his own house will inherit the wind, and the fool will be servant to the wise of heart. We got to be wise. We got to know, huh? I'm blessed. I'm real blessed. I'm highly favored by God. I know that I know my daddy got me. Proverbs 11:30-31. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. That is what Mother Valerie and I are trying to do, win souls through the word of God. And it says, if the righteous will be recompensed on the earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner. Hallelujah. God loves you. He wants the best for you. Don't ever take God for granted. And don't ever sell him short because he's got you covered. In Proverbs 12:1, it says, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Say it again. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. I don't want to be stupid. I don't want anybody I know to be stupid. If you are corrected, accept correction. Accept instruction. Accept what is going on because God will set you down. He will correct you, and he will set you down. So don't get upset if you are given constructive criticism by someone who knows more than you, who has more experience than you. Don't get upset. Don't get mad. Don't get angry. Well, they told me this and that, and they set me down and told me I couldn't do X, Y, Z. Well, you need to be instructed. You need to learn some things before you get up trying to be in charge of anything. You've got to have knowledge. before you get on a phone at a company. You got to know what the company does. You can't get on a phone for a company as a customer service agent and don't know what the company's motto is, don't know what the company is about, don't know anything. You're just getting on the phone. And when you ask the question, well, I don't know that. You didn't take the instructions. On my job, my part-time job, my job that I love. And, you know, and I always, you know, you hear people say, but you were in an executive position, but now you do that. It's the best job I've ever had. Because God will humble you. The humbleness and the meekness of helping someone, it does something for your heart. I'm paying it forward because it was senior citizens that raised me. They didn't have a lot of money, but they had a lot of love. Again, you don't know the cost of my oil. And so as I take care of every senior I take care of, I think about the parents that raised me. I think about the godmother who passed away. I feel way too young, but gave me lots of love. The godfather who not only took care of me, but took care of his wife when she got sick. He didn't put her in a nursing home. He took care of her. I took care of her. Because she loved me and I wanted to love her just as much in return. Again, you don't know the cost of my oil. 22 years old, one godmother died. 23 years old, my godfather died. 7 months pregnant at the time. You don't know the cost of my oil. 32 years of marriage to the love of my life. And he died at 56 years old. Again, you don't know the cost. So every day that God gives me, I'm grateful. Because there's somebody who didn't make it, who didn't get to the age I'm at, who didn't make it into the next year. So don't ever, always, because he loves you back. What a mighty God we serve. And as we go into the book of Mark, what a powerful word. We all know that Jesus told us in chapter 13 that we got to watch. We got to watch. And my mother-in-law, every time my husband and I would leave our house, she would say, watch as well as pray. And I didn't understand it until I read the word of God. And it says, watch as well as pray, so you do not be tempted by the wiles of the evil one. To be a watchman. There's so much going on in our world today. So much going on with lies and deception, just as we just read in the song. Lying tongues, evil speaking. Folks don't mind talking about killing people over stupid stuff and over lies and deception. I'd rather believe a lie than the truth. And the truth has been proven over and over again, but I'm still going to believe the lie. But I want to tell you how much I love God. And then you try to justify the lie and the liar. Things that we will never be forgiven for. Because of deceptions and lies. Folks dying over foolishness. People being murdered and killed over foolishness. And over deceptions and lies. But understand, you reap what you sow. If you sow deception and lies, you're going to reap the whirlwind. We got to be careful what we do and what we say. Because everything that we do, God is watching. And what did the psalmist say? What did David tell us? Keep your tongue from and your lips from speaking deceit. Because understand, you will pay for it. Don't lie. Don't get involved with liars. Don't start that stuff. Keep your mind free to love, to care about others. Because believe me, the Lord loves and cares about you. And he wants the best for you in your life. The best is yet to come. I believe that. I believe that with my whole heart. The best is yet to come in my life. And as Proverbs 21:1 says, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. We don't want to be stupid. This is what Dr. Stanley tells us. He says, criticism is often difficult to listen to. However, the best way to handle it is he may be using someone else's words to reveal blind spots in your character that need work. Remember that correction is always an opportunity for growth. And I'm going to tell you something. Just be around children. Be around little kids. They're going to tell you the truth about yourself. I have a grandson, 6 years old. And believe me, everything that little boy says, sometimes he will exaggerate some things, but a lot of times he will tell you about yourself. Whether you like it or not, deal with it. Because the truth from a child is a truth from God. Believe that. And if a child tells you you need to lose some weight, you probably need to lose some weight. If a child tells you you're messy, you probably are messy. Understand, children see a lot more than you think, and they will tell you about yourself. Don't get mad. Don't get angry. Just clean up and do better. Come on now. Do what you need to do because God is watching you. As Mark 14 and 26, well, Mark chapter 14, let's get into it. And this is where our title is coming out of. You don't know the cost of my oil. And it says, after 2 days, it was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the chief priests and the scribes thought how they might take him by trickery and put him to death. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask or jar of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. Folks going to talk about you when you're doing what's right. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. But you have the poor with you always. And whatever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priest to betray him to them. And I believe he's the one that was talking about it being costly and that they could use it to feed the poor because he wanted to get a hold of it because he was a thief as well as a deceiver, as well as a niche and sellout because he didn't mind selling out the Savior. But again, it was his assignment. The enemy got a hold of him. And it said, then he sought the thief. Let's go back to verse 10 and see what he said. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priest to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. So he thought how he might conveniently betray him. Now, on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover? And he sent out two of his disciples and said to them, go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house. The teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us. So his disciples went out and came into the city and found it just as he had said to them. And they prepared the Passover. In the evening he came with the 12. Now as they sat and ate, Jesus said, surely I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and to say to him one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? He answered and said to them, it is one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goes as just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It will have been good for that man if he had never been born. And we all know what happened. Judas kills himself, commits an ultimate sin of suicide. And it says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. Every time I read this word, it fills me up to know that every time I take communion, that I am representing the body and the blood of my Savior, who loved me so much that he gave his life for me. He paid it all for me. And it says, and he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank with it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink anew in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter said to him, even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be. Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he spoke more vehemently, if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said likewise. Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took Peter, James, and John with him. And he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. He went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Then he came and found them sleeping and said, Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus was warning him. Watch and pray. He's warning us. Pray. Lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. and they did not know what to answer him. And I want to say this, the enemy is really slick. When we're studying and reading our word, it seems like we get the sleepiest. We get so tired. But when we're watching an action movie and watching something else, wide awake, ready to go. But when it's time to do what you got to do for the Lord, tired, sleepy, don't want to get up. But it tells us this again, he went away and prayed. Jesus prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. Then he came the third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Arise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. And immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude, with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now his betrayer had given them a signal, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him and lead him away safely. As soon as he had come, immediately he went up to him and said to him, Rabbi, Rabbi, and kissed him. Then they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And many of us believe it was Peter. And it says, then Jesus answered and said to them, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. Then they all forsook him and fled. Now a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body. And the young man laid hold of him. And he left the linen, and the young men laid hold of him. And he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes. But Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Warmed himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and all the council sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none, for many bore false witnesses. There we go, in lying tongues. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimonies did not agree. Then some rose up and bore false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But not even then did their testimony agree. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you? But he kept silent and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him, saying to him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Jesus said, I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, what further need do we have of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. Now understand, all of this was done in the home of Caiaphas. He did not do it for the 71. Because it was a quorum of 71 of the priests. But he did it among those that hated Jesus. The ones that may have been there, like Joseph of Arimathea. You know, some of the ones that followed Jesus, even if they followed it in secret, he made sure that nobody was there that could stop him. But those that would be with him and believe and try to destroy the Savior. because, again, it was written by the prophets that this would come. And it says, when they all condemned him to be deserving of death, then some began to spit on him and to blindfold him and to beat him and to say to him, prophesy. And the officers struck him with the palms of their hands. Now, as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, You also were with Jesus of Nazareth. And he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you are saying. And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, this is one of them. But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it. Then he began to curse and swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. A second time, the rooster crowed. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And when he thought about it, he wept. He wept. When he thought about it, he wept. Think about how we deny Jesus, how we don't stand up for who we are, don't have the spirit to say, I am a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. We don't stand up and speak who we are. We got to do it. We got to say who we belong to. I am a child of God. I am loved by him. He knows my name. He knows every gray hair on my head. He knows me. And he loves me. We cannot be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we got to know that when those folks are out there talking, or even if we allow the evil one to come in, the word tells us, keep your tongue and your lips from speaking deceit. As they said in a movie Friday, you ain't got to lie. Don't be lying. You ain't got to lie. We got to tell the truth of who he is and that we believe. Mark 14 and 10, Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray him to them. Judas went to the religious authorities with his offer to betray Jesus immediately after Jesus rebuked him for criticizing a woman who had honored the Lord with an expensive gift, the alabaster jar of oil. Again, you don't know the cost of the oil. You don't know the cost of my oil. I don't know the cost of your oil. We didn't know the cost of her oil. But Judas got jealous because he was greedy and he was a thief. Mark 14 and 16, his disciples went into the city and found it just as he had said to them. Just as the disciples found the Passover preparations, just as Jesus had told them, so we will find life to be just as he tells us. We will always find our smoothest life path by carefully following Jesus' instructions. Are you following the instructions of the Lord today? Are you believing that all things are going to work for your good because you trust in God? Or are you standing on the word this morning? Are you believing this morning? Mark 14 and 35, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the will of Jesus regarding the will of his Father was tested. And yet Jesus did not sin. He willingly submitted himself to his Father's will, even though he desired something else. Hallelujah. Your will be done. Isn't that the Lord's prayer? Your will be done as it is in heaven. We got to understand the will of God is the will of God. And Father does know best. Hallelujah. Mark 14:72, when he thought about it, he wept. Peter immediately understood the seriousness of his sin, which is a good thing. 2 Corinthians 7:10 tells us godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted. Peter was no longer belligerent as he was in the garden, John 8:10. But we know that when the ear was cut off, Jesus put it back on. Come on now. Completely healed. Rather, he was repentant, which is what he needed to be to receive the risen Christ. Are you repentant today? Are you asking for forgiveness today for any sins you have committed in thought, in word, or in deed? We've got to repent. We've got to tell God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Because God is the only one that knows the full cost of your oil. Trust him today. Believe in him today. And know that he's got you covered. He loves you so much. And he wants the best for you. And a word from our sister in Christ this morning, Sister Carolyn. Good morning. Be grateful for today. And never take anything for granted. Life is a blessing. Life is a blessing. Don't forget that your life is a blessing from God. Thank you so much, family. That is all I have this morning. Oh, wait a minute. I do have a prayer from our prayer book. And then it's a wrap. And our prayer for this 17th day of the month is this. Your motives. Am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ, as spoken by Paul in Galatians 1:10. This is the ESV. And it says this, Lord, search me now. Search me and know my heart. You see every hidden motive that is there. Lord, where I tend towards pleasing the people around me over you, give me grace to choose you. I am yours. My devotion belongs to you. Help me to always prioritize you over trying to win favor with people around me, even my leaders. When I start to get caught up in what others think about me, I will lay down my thoughts on the altar of your love and mediate and meditate on who you say I am and who I am becoming. I will not compromise your values or mine by bending my obedience to satisfy someone else's preference. I will stay strong as a child of the King, following you. May my heart remain soft as well, that I may be molded by you. And for you, my Lord, be the leader of my life. Hallelujah. Be the leader of my life. Are you trusting God today? Are you believing that he can make a way? Like he made a way for me, and he will make a way for you. Trust the Lord. Believe that all is well in your life when you put your trust in him. Who are you living to please? Are you living to please the Lord? Are you living to please man? Are you trusting God today? Are you looking out for who somebody else is? He said, she said. Woo-woo and men said. It's not more important than what thus says the Lord. That's all I have today, family. And I pray for you. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And remember, you don't know the cost of my oil, as I don't know the cost of yours. Only God knows the cost of all the oil in all our boxes, in all our jars,
and all our flaws. Only God knows. And that's why we put our trust in him. Tell God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Don't waste it, family. Don't throw it away. Find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church and watch God work in your life. Have a blessed day. It is, what do we say? It's a wrap. Thank you, Irina. It's a wrap.